you, sir. Hey there.
Hey, good, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. I apologize. I'm a minute or two late. I was a little impatient. And so, you know, the iPhone will dial in your conference line, but when it didn't do it instantly, I put the conference line in myself, and so it said, I don't know what you're trying to do, kid, but you need to call back.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Rob. I don't know whether you're in the court.
I'm on a cell phone. Let me turn the volumes up and make sure I'm well connected here. Hang on 1 second with you. Can you hear me better now?
Yes. Go ahead. That's great. Okay.
Good, good. Thanks. I apologize for that. I let the silly mic fall down around my neck. So things are going really well, Rob. We've got really great momentum. We came through Q1. I shared with you all my anxieties and things about where we were, and I think the anxiety was, frankly, good. It was a bit of a wake-up call, and it also was a very strong demonstrator that a little bit of pain is a good thing. So I feel like it motivated us, motivated me. It got me moving in the right direction, got me focused on the things that I need to focus on. But as I think anytime you go through one of these growth spurts, it also revealed some challenges and some things that we've got to continue to work on and look at and continue to improve in terms of the practice structure and the team. And that's what I wanted some guidance from you on, if I could. So
go ahead.
Hang on 1 second. So, you know what, just pull right here and I'll hop right out here. Except for this, I was having somebody bring me into the office today because I'm going to meet Caroline for lunch. So a couple things came undone a bit on the growth aspect of the team. What it revealed is that there's a real, I think, lack of accountability on the side of getting work done. And there's not any good systems for tracking that work. It also revealed, you know, Michael quit. I don't know if Sean and Claudia told you this, but he quit. And this is the second time he's quit in the 2 years he's been here. And, you know, I'm a little tired of it because it's like this extortionist thing. Now, and what I really don't like is I don't like somebody who doesn't have the courage to say, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that, and I'm going to go look for a greener pasture. I'm okay with that. But what I get is this. What I get is this. Oh, I love this team. I would die for this team. The only thing that matters to me in this world more than my son is this team. And I'm just not the right person. And I can't in good conscience stick around knowing that, you know, the team could do better without me and this, that, and the other thing. And then when you say, okay, well, what's your plan? Well, I don't know. I got to think it through. I'll let you know. And then six weeks later, Sean and Claudia go and beg him. And he says, okay, I'll stay. Now, let me
too late, pal.
Here's what precipitated this last I quit, is that we were transferring in a $15 million Goldman Sachs account, and the ACATs were taking forever. And Michael loves to create drama, and he loves things to be, like, harder than they have to be, and he acts like I'm an idiot. Like, I've never done an ACAT in my life, and I have no idea what happens, and I'm just walking around blind without a cane. Which I resent deeply. You know, I started in this business behind a piece of plexiglass with a fax machine and a phone line. So I know how to open an account. I know how to attend it.
Right.
Certainly it's changed, but I've done all this. So we're on the phone with the guy who had referred the deal to us, the banker. And so we're having this conversation, and everything is like – unbelievably slow. Like Michael, one of his drama things that he loves is he loves these pregnant pauses. So at one point he said, well, you know, I didn't really have the right date, and you guys didn't, and it's super complicated, and there's 9 accounts, and, you know, I'd rather do it the right way for the first time, and this, that, and the other. Now, bear in mind, at this point, these ACATs have been in process for over 10 days, and nothing's moving yet.
Well, ACATs should be automatic, right? I mean, you got to act on ACAT.
Absolutely. So nothing happens. Nothing happens. And I'm asking these questions, and I said, well, Michael, are you telling me that you have to have? So then first, so this is like towards the end of February. It's like February 22nd, 23rd. He says, well, at this point, what I'd like to suggest we do is that we wait until the end of February. Then we get the most recent up-to-date statements. We'll know exactly what we're dealing with, and then I'll process them then. And I said, are you out of your fucking mind?
What, are you freaking crazy? You mean you haven't done it? What he's saying is he didn't even process it.
So then I said to him, Michael, do you have to have these? And I kid you not. And this had gone on the whole call. There's a 20-second pregnant pause. Just like that, only longer. And he says, well, it would be nice. I lost my mind. I slammed the phone down, and I stood up and I walked out. And Michael said, where are you going? I said, I'm leaving. He said, you can't leave. I said, the hell I can. I said, this is my practice. I can do anything I want to do. I said, I'm tired of you standing and acting like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and what's going on, and you thinking that I'm blind and walking around without a cane. I said, I built this business. And for you to talk like that and to act like that just infuriates the hell out of me. And he said, well, you have to stay here and we have to talk about this. I said, no, we don't, Michael. I said, you can get mad at one of us because we didn't pat you on the head or, you know, treat you with kid leather gloves, and you can walk around here and pout for weeks. I damn straight can walk out of my own office until I pull off. And so I left. And he called me again and said, or he sent me a text and said, you've got to come back. I said, I don't got to do anything. I'll come back when I cool off. And I didn't go in the next day. So then he says, so the real reason he wants to quit is because I talk mean to him. And I'm upset with myself because I lost.
Is he one of these millennials that is looking for a safe place or something? What is this shit?
He must be, because then he said, and I feel bad because what happened is he hadn't done his job. But
right.
I let it go on long enough. I lost my temper and swore at him. So now all of a sudden he's the victim. You know, oh,
right, of course.
Rob that, rob all these things. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the work not getting done. I'm tired of, you know, when I say what's going on, there's no accountability. Well, you don't understand. You don't get it. So I made a list last night. There are 40 things that I've said I need done to make my life easier so I can focus more on the big things in the business. And they are stupid things, Rob. Like, somebody needs to go through my email and get rid of all the garbage I don't need to see, and only flag the stuff I care about. Quit copying me on everything that says, you know, I let the cat out. I know you do your job. I don't need to get an email that says you did your job. Just leave me off that. I want somebody who fields all my phone calls and goes in regularly and checks my voicemail because it's almost always garbage. I don't want to come in and take time to check my voicemail and do that stuff. When I'm done with a file and I set it on my desk, I want somebody to come in and take a file, take it out of my office and put it in the file, and I want it in the file that day, that time. I mean,
right.
It's kind of mundane thing that they're like, oh, we're so busy we can't possibly get that done. But what happened is, you know, I think when we started to grow last quarter and we started to add a lot of assets and bringing accounts in, all of a sudden, you know, it showed how inefficient the processes are because now there was a lot of work to do. And what I see is that, you know, Michael, when he's in front of a client and he's glad-handing and, you know, doing the Eddie Haskell, he loves them, they love him, and he's great. But what he'll do is he loves that so much is that he'll make that take three times as long as it should. He'll open his mouth about things he shouldn't, like, you know, how a trust should be set up and so on and so forth. But then, you know, that takes away from getting the real work done. So –
right.
I need to find someone. And what I've said to these guys is they've said, well, you know, Michael's going to stay. And I said, for now. The guy's quit twice in less than 2 years. He's going to quit again. And one of these times.
You should fire him. Find somebody else and then fire him.
Yeah, and that's what I've said. So we've got to set about finding.
No, I'm serious. I mean, find somebody else. Don't fire him. If he's quit twice, now he wants to stay. Okay, so. Find someone really good that you don't have drama with, okay? That's already registered, that wants to work for you, that is out there somewhere, and then fire him, okay? Because this is a bad situation. You're wasting You wasted 15 minutes of this call, which is valuable time for you, on something that is stupid, okay?
Yep. Okay, good.
Okay, you don't need this. You got enough emotion attached to the business the way it is. No. You're an emotional guy. You don't need drama. You want to keep drama out of it.
That's a great point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got sucked into this vortex. I mean, I would never get sucked into that. I'd go, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the growth that I need to work on.
Yeah, you're in the middle of the vortex, and that's not where you belong.
From the same vein,
you're the senator, okay? You're not the aide to camp. You're the senator, and senators don't get involved in shit. They got too many important things to worry about. So you want to be above all that. You want to get people that want to work, know how to work, and don't hire a millennial that's going to be, try and find some middle-aged mother that wants to come back to work after she's raised her kids. And I mean, that's to me the perfect situation. You know, no more babies, no more. She just wants to work and get paid and go home, you know.
Exactly.
So, and they're good ones. God, they're good ones. Jesus, they're good ones. I mean, ones that are just world class. And you're in a great city for, you know, people like that. So,
well,
that's,
you may be in a great firm because I think what's going to happen with a lot of these consolidation things that we're talking about under this new structure, there may be some people that become available just because of headcount issues.
Right, right. People that have actually worked hard jobs and think, you know what, this is great. I'm out in the field. I can be with clients. I'm doing the job. But they've been shuffling papers in the back room and doing a hell of a good job of it. But now they get out in the field. They make a little more money. Life's good.
Well, you know, and see, that's the thing that I also point out to Sean Claudio. We're paying Michael $100,000 to $110,000 a year. So, you know, I mean,
yeah,
that ain't bad money.
No, it's stupid is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly, okay? I mean, telling you, you're doing too much business. You've got a good business, and you've got good people. Sean's a good person. You got good people. Don't tolerate mediocrity at any level. That's the sign of a successful team. But never accept mediocrity at any level. And people accept it all the time. It's like, what? Why? What? That means you think you're average. When you accept mediocrity, you're saying, I'm just average, so I can accept that. Or I'm not ambitious. I don't care.
And I want to say the average is the best of the worst.
So it. You know, I had a little couple of sayings up on my wall. Do what's right. Do your best. And commit to excellence. And / don't accept mediocrity. Ever. It should be a part of your team mantra. We're not going to accept mediocrity. We're accepting mediocrity because we got a drama queen.
Exactly.
No drama. No drama. No time for drama. I have a pretty good idea for you.
Okay.
I know you developed a very complex business plan, and I'm sure it's working fabulously.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming to me even to read it. So here's a simple one that I think will appeal to you. Sean's not there, though, right?
No, it's just you and I. We're the only, and I'm not even in my office.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Right. Okay. Let me just give you the idea of this. I've been working on this idea of a spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet for a pipeline, right? Because nobody seems to really keep a good pipeline. And
amen.
Okay, so here's your pipeline. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me double make sure there's nothing else that I've left out. Yeah, the six. Okay. Six channels or six. Six columns. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the it's suspect, prospect, customer, client, advocate, ambassador. So, and beside each one, what I want is you to put down, so under each column, the name, the dollars involved in terms of potential net new money, and then the date. Okay?
Okay.
So that's, it's like putting down a wine, right? We're going to know the value of the wine, the name of the wine, and the date we got it, okay? And then we're going to have the wine mature over time, but we don't want them to mature too long before we turn them and move them to the next level. So the idea is that you should have a good, reasonably large number of suspects. All right, that's your, that's are we marketing? Are we generating introductions? All the different seven strategies for generating introductions should come up with quite a few suspects. Once we qualify them, and they're qualified in the sense that we like them, that we seem to get along, it looks like we're a good match, they have the ability, the money, and they're willing to act within a reasonable amount of time, they go on the prospect list. When they open an account, they go in the customer list. Now, we're going to have customers that are old customers. And a customer is defined as a person that's doing business with you, but you haven't done a financial plan, and they don't listen to you. You don't control them, okay?
Yep.
Clients are people you've done a financial plan, you're doing 1242, they listen to you, they take your advice, they're a real client. An advocate is a person that has become a center of influence for you. They like you. They trust you. They listen to you. And they will send you introductions without you asking. And then an ambassador is someone that sends you an introduction, turns into a client in the last 12 months.
So say the ambassador again, Rob, please.
The ambassador is somebody that is an advocate, but he's a center of influence, but he has sent you someone that has become a client in the last 12 months.
Gotcha. Copy. Okay.
Okay. So that's our club. It's the ambassador's club. And we're going to recognize those people, whether you take them out on the Potomac on a cruise for dinner or you give them a certificate or you give them a nice something that says you're an ambassador, however you do it. You're going to recognize those people every year. And you can do it calendar months. You can do it any way you want. But the idea is that they're in the club, and they know that to get in the club and come on the dinner the next year, they need to bring in a client. Okay. Now, this is something that you all can work on. Sean can run it.
Absolutely.
You can... You know, but I think it's a great idea. And I think this is your Monday meeting, okay? This is your prospecting game board meeting that turns into business, you know, down the road. So even with customers, you're going to put down the money that you don't have or the money that's coming due. So for clients, money coming due. Advocates, money coming due. Ambassadors, money coming due. So all of these categories will be sources of income, and you just can cume them at the end of every week or month and determine where's the money, where's it coming from. And if you don't have suspects that have money, you know, you're going to see it right away. And by putting the date down, you're going to know how long they've been in each column.
Gotcha.
You know, this guy's been a suspect for 3 months. What's going on?
Exactly. Yeah. Is he really a suspect or is he a pipe dream?
Right. Is he a name? Right. He shouldn't even be on the suspect. Shouldn't be on the suspect list.
So, Rob, let me ask you that as a clarifying issue. So, in terms of suspects, you know, kind of what I'm thinking is that, you know, there's this, almost this notion of potential suspects. When I was working with Ashley early on many, many years ago, they had what they referred to as this dream list of people, you know, you'd like to figure out how to get connected to someday, which may not be a bad thing to have. But once I've said somebody's actively a suspect, what's the expiration date on that?
I would say that, you know, for me, I don't want too many. I mean, a suspect should become a prospect, right? Let's say it's a CEO of a company, and we've met with him a couple of times. We don't seem to be getting anywhere. You know, we're dripping on him. He's kind of a suspect. I'd give him, because he's the CEO, a little more time. But then he says, you know what, when I get my money, I'm gonna move it to you guys. Then he's a prospect. Then we put him into the quarterly butler category, right? So we're gonna actually talk to him 3 times and meet with him once a year. And when he gets his money, it comes to us. So we might marinate, you know, guys with $2 million rollovers, you know, in this category. But, you know, we're not going to I don't want to keep too many suspects in there because, you know, I just don't like it. I want them to be hot. I want them to be referred by a good center of influence. They like us, they trust us, they know who we are, and they need us, right, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. A couple months, you know, it's common sense. Trumps all other rules, but I'd say a couple of months as a suspect would be
exactly
pretty much all I'd need to determine whether or not he was going to be a prospect. And, you know, then we determine when he's a prospect, how long is it going to be until he's a client? You know, is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be a year? It's a $10 million client. 2 years is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm willing to work for 2 years for that.
See, and what I like is that you have created some restraint and some structure around suspects. Because what I find happens is that the suspect list gets big, and then you get this false sense of security that says, well, things may not be great now, but I got this huge suspect list, and
right.
I don't want
no.
time to really work on that. And when things really get rolling and this and that happens, then everything's going to be great. Well, no, it's not, because that's just a baloney list anyway.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I ran the office, I had everybody in a category. You know, the 250 producers were moving to 500, the 5 to 750, the 750 to a million, the million to a million and a half, so forth. You know, and I had a goal on each one. I wanted $5 million producers in the office. I wanted the average to be over a million. I wanted, you know, to have 10 million dollar producers and so forth. And it all came true. You know, I just moved everybody along. You know, everybody had a mission. And that's why I like this, is that everybody's got a mission to get to the right-hand column, to become an ambassador. And you got 10 ambassadors that are giving you introductions every year. You got yourself, you know, a sales force.
Absolutely.
But some of them will probably give you more than one a year.
Exactly.
So you like this?
I love it.
Yeah, I thought you would.
This leads to the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and this is something that I think, you know, I'd like to figure out a time, you know, and if you need to, you know, I understand time is money and stuff, so let's talk about how, you know, we structure, you know, an extra kind of fee on this. I would like to set up you and I talking on a regular basis, like once a month. And here's what
okay.
I'm going to do with that, is that I'm no longer content to simply become – I'm no longer content to simply be a great FA and be a great business leader. I am increasingly inspired. I'm going to take a positive check on this. Inspired that there's a better person inside of me that needs to get out and that I need to pay attention to. I need to put the old, the past equals the future, who I've been, the way I've done things, the way I've managed things, the way I've lived my life, the way I've treated people. I'm done with that. You know, I'm really, it's funny, I've got a buddy who, he and I are both going to turn 60 next year, and he was a professional psychic, the guy who's really helped me get my health back and those things. Chris Carmichael. So I told him, you know, I had this idea if he ought to do 60. I want him to write this book called 60 to 60, 6 years and 60 mm-hmm. decades in the saddle, you know, what I've learned. And so I mapped this out for him and I started working on it. And one of my clients is a book publisher guy, and I talked to him about it. And he said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Because I got to tell you something." I said, "I have decided that I want to. My life is changing, and it's been so – my life, frankly, Rob, today is better than I thought it could be. I'm happier than I've ever been, and I'm more prosperous, but I'm not focused just on that as much. And so I've been doing a lot of soul-searching and thinking about my life in this moment. I don't know if I shared with you that at the end of last Christmas, I had this massive fallout with my sisters. And one of them even said, "You're no longer the godchild, godfather of my children. I don't want you to see my
children." Oh, God.
You. And you know what the genesis of it was? I wouldn't go home and pack boxes when my mom and dad were moving, because she said, "You think you're too busy? You think, you know, you're more important than everybody?" Well, I sent my wife.
You're too good for that, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the letter was so hate-filled, and I really said to myself, I said, "You know, I think she's way out of line, but I've also got to look at my life and ask myself, how could, you know, what have I contributed that would allow somebody to write this letter?" And it only hurts because there's some truth in it. So I said, all right. So I felt sorry for myself for several months. And now I said, okay, I'm done feeling sorry for myself. And I was reading about a week ago. I don't know if you've ever heard of Thich Nhat Hanh, but he is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who had some really interesting things that he talks about, stress and those kinds of things that I read him about. But he had said something that hit me right between the eyes, and it had become kind of the mantra of what I'm thinking about. And he said that the basic condition of happiness is freedom.
Is what?
Myself, is freedom.
Yeah, it's true.
And I said to myself, oh, my God, that's the business that I'm in. I'm in the business of providing freedom so that people can have happiness, they can do this and do that. But the one thing that I did think that my sister said to me that was somewhat true is that I do not regularly, and as part of my ongoing practice, she didn't say this, but this is the way I verbalize it, repay, thank, support, care for, and so on and so forth, for all the people that have helped me and that have made changes in my life. And I want to be a guy who shares those things. I used to think, I want to just get better and better and better. I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing because I don't want anybody to get as good as I am. I'm done with that. What I want to be is I want to become a prolific producer of content, of information, of guidance. I want to set everybody up. I want to be in the freedom business. And so one of the things I've done is I've made a list of people that have really hugely impacted my life and changed it probably forever. And, you know, I got to just, you know, get candid with you and tell you that you're one of those people. And you're one of those people, ironically, and this has really been a lesson for me, not even by what you say to me professionally, but the way that you talk, the way that you carry yourself, the way that you are much more even-toned than I am, you know, your state doesn't allow you to lose your temper. software involved, handling things like mine does, and so on.
Right.
I want to tell you that I've observed all that, and it has an impact. And it's something that I'm aspiring to get better at. So I got to ask myself, who are the people who have really helped me, that have really touched me? How do I do this? One is, how do I help them? How do I repay them? And two, how do I share them? So I've been asked, and I think I've told you many, many times, to talk about how 1242 has materially changed my practice. And I tell that story, and people are blown away. And they think, oh, that's great, this, that, and the other thing. Well, now I've been asked to do it again in July, and it's, you know, just like 30 or 40 minutes, some, I don't know, 40 minutes or an hour. And here's what
I... How many people?
40 people.
What's your... 40 people?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Good audience. Yeah.
So here's what I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to buy 40 copies of your book from you.
Okay.
I'd like you to sign them. I'd like to do about a 15-minute intro about why this changed my life and why this has changed everything, and, you know, talk to you a little bit about what I want to share. But then I want to say, but hey, guys, you know, one of the things I can do for you, this firm has given me the ability to build a practice. It gives me access to be able to talk to a guy like Rob Knapp. Let me share that with you. And let me share it in two ways. Here's his book. Read it, absorb it, learn it. But Rob's going to come on the line now and talk to us for 15, 20 minutes, answer some calls, and if you guys want to go further with him, you know, he can tell you a little bit about, you know, how his firm can help you do what I've done.
Oh, great.
Would that be useful to, and, you know, and I'd like you to speak for a few minutes, but maybe other people on your team who are other coaches and things should chime in and things so that you spread. I mean, however it works for you, I want to, you know, have you, just because I think the fact that it's Rob Knapp, frankly, I think guys will show up that wouldn't maybe have shown up. And I think giving them the book is something tangible. And I might just hit a couple of the highlights, like, you know, the things that really moved me and changed me. And said, you know, that way I don't have to walk them through everything. I can say, look, this is laid out in this chapter. This is laid out in that chapter. But then I think it could also, I think it honors what you've done for me, but I hope it also helps you grow your business and at least spread the word of what you've done.
It's very, very nice. It's a very nice thing. I mean, one of the things we do, right, is to try and figure out ways we can help others, right? So that's what you're doing right now. You're figuring, okay, how can I refer business to Rob and do it in an effective way and help him, and that way he will be happy, and that's my game, right? I want to make people happy and figure out ways to make their lives better. So, perfect. Here's another thing, which I think would be fun for us. I mean, part of what you're saying is, I want to become a leader of men. I like your style, and I'd like to emulate your style. One of the ways to do that is to have us spend some time together in person, okay? So,
I love that idea.
One of the ways to do that economically for you is to get you to work with your management team and have me come in and follow up this meeting, which is probably an office full of your peers or whatever, and then Rob's going to come back in the fall and actually do a presentation full on. Now, you know, most of the firms will support that. I cost $10,000. You don't want to, I mean, you would, but you don't need to put out $10,000. I'll come and spend time with you and speak to the office. You know, John Hancock will pick it up, Touchstone, any of the major firms will pick up my cost. They like doing it. And so it's something that works for everybody. And I'd like to do that. I mean, because of you and we have a relationship, I'd like to see you. I don't love traveling, but I like it when I'm there. Let me put it that way. Right?
Exactly. It's the getting there that's no fun.
Yeah, but that's okay. I can do that.
I'll put that together. And I know a couple of guys I can call right now and say, listen, a lot of the flow you've seen has been because of this. Imagine what would happen if you had everybody doing this I need you guys to, you know, get three guys to pony up $3,000, whatever.
Yeah, that would be fun. That'd be fun for me and be fun for you, and that would get us on our pace. So, have Sean or somebody call and order the books from Cindy, and I will, or I can send them. You know, I have a bunch. I've got my second book. I'm not sure. Which do you want, the first book? Because this is kind of an introduction.
I would leave it to you. I mean, here's the thing that I was kind of thinking is that I wish that there was a way to tell these folks, look, here is the first book. This is what it maps out. This is what it does, so on and so forth. And then basically, I don't know how you could get them to demonstrate to their managers, or they set up a buddy system to hold themselves accountable because, hey, I've read and started to implement book one. You do that, and then in the fall, we're going to give you book two. But there's no reason to give you book two if you haven't implemented book one.
Right. No question. You're right. Okay. We'll have Cindy send you 40 signed books. You work it out with her. It's cheaper, obviously, to buy them through us than it is Amazon, so... that makes sense. That'd be great. Okay.
Perfect.
Well, all right. Well, thank you. This will work out great. And, I love your energy, and, share that with Sean and see if you can put that together. I think that's a little more concrete as a business plan. You know,
absolutely.
It's sort of like, that's sort of the results of all the other. If we don't have the results of all the other, then we don't have, something's not working. You know, what's working and what's not working. And, you know, it's just something that I think would fit for you. I thought of it last night. I woke up at 5 o'clock and I said, this is perfect for Rob. I got to talk to him today. So let me share this with you. Okay.
But you know what? And it fits right in. I love Einstein's theory of as simple as it can be, but no simpler. And that's simple. So that's great. So I'll get it together. And when I've got it put together, I'll send you a iteration of it so you can see it, and we'll continue to improve it together.
Awesome. Perfect. All right.
So
thanks very much, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.